Wherein lay my values? This is Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California, with a thought for today. Wherein lay my values? Now, that's a very interesting concept. Wherein lay my values? Men want to be a woman's first love. Women want to be a man's last romance. Now, that we understand very well. We understand that very well. Men want to be a woman's first love, and women want to be a man's last romance. Now, that is a phrase that has been around for a long time, but it sort of sinks every now and then. But it always comes back up. It sinks and it comes back up. The operas that have been written about this condition not existing. And the newspapers from time to time write about this condition not existing. And today, people say, doesn't matter, we don't need to get married, we don't need to have monotheistic, we don't have to have a one relationship, you know. You know, you can have boyfriends and you can have girlfriends and stuff like that. And I think the big thing that we have to come to terms with, why are we lying to ourselves? Why are we lying to ourselves? Every man would like to have a woman devoted 100% to himself. And every woman would like to have a man devoted 100% to herself. Except, each woman and each man would like to have friends. Friends who they can talk to and share with and do things with. But what would be the thing that makes them want to have one individual person? They want to have one individual person for sex. Basically, it's that. And as far as talking, they talk to their doctors, and they talk to their doctors about everything under the sun, including sex, but they don't have sex with their doctors. They talk to their psychologist, psychiatrist, they talk to their minister, they talk to their priest, they talk to their rabbi, they talk to their teachers, they talk to their people in every walk, male and female, and they discuss the most precious, tender issues of their life. But they do not think of marrying these people or having a relationship with these people. Sometimes it works out that way, but that's the exception rather than the rule. What is it that gives these people the desire to talk to other people about their problem and generally not talk to their spouse? Because they don't talk to their spouse and say, look, dear, I'm not too happy with what we're doing. Somehow, it just doesn't make me feel good. Do you have a suggestion of what we could do to make me feel better about this? Either way, husband, wife. Mm-hmm. And the other would say, it's not me. I'm not an impossible or impotent person. You see what I mean? It's just, hey, I would like to get more out of our relationship, and how could we do it? Let's talk about it. It's not that you're bad or I'm bad or you're good and I'm good. It's just that how can we get a better relationship out of that? And where in your values lay? The person that you claim is the most precious person in your world, your husband or wife, that person is the last person you talk to about how you can have a better relationship, how you can enjoy more out of life. Now, in truth, no matter what person we have a relationship with, let's say marry, no matter what person we marry, that person is going to be good, be wonderful, but they haven't read their manual on being a human being, and they haven't read their manual on marriage, and they haven't read their manual on children raising. Now, where do you find the manual? Where do you find the manual? The manual is right in yourself, right in your heart. And how often do you take time to meditate on how should I raise my child? You just flare out with whatever the immediate need calls for. How often do you take time to figure out how to make your marriage a more beautiful thing? You just say, it's not working, rather than, hey, something needs some grease. Something needs a little bit of attention. Something needs a little bit of tightening or loosening or something here. So, but get your manual out. Listen to your inner self to figure out what is the way to make this work. And you listen to that divine within yourself, and it's always ready to tell you. It's always ready to reveal to you the wonderful path that you can take. We have this wonderful ability within us to do anything that we want to do. We have the ability within us to accomplish any goal we want to accomplish, to walk any path we want to walk. Now, what path do you want to walk? Do you want to walk the path of one husband after the other, one wife after the other, children who are in trouble all the time, whether you know it or not? Or do you want to walk the path of harmony, peace, love, and the feeling of great joy? Well, the way to walk the path of harmony, peace, and great joy is first to come to terms with yourself. Find time to go into the park of your consciousness. You don't have to go outside the house or outside the world. Go in the park of your consciousness. You're sitting on the toilet. That's an opportunity for a little peace and quiet normally. And so you say to yourself, I like me, 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 I like me. And just repeat it even though it doesn't make any sense to you. It doesn't matter. You're building up in your consciousness a new attitude about yourself. Now, if you like yourself, at least you're working on it, you're going to like your wife or husband much better. You're going to like your kids. You're going to think, hey, I got the greatest kids. You're not going to just say I got the greatest kids, wishing and hoping and knowing you don't. You're going to realize you do have, because you like yourself, so you're going to be seeing them liking themselves. In fact, you might even teach them to say that too. How wonderful that would be. Then, as you do this, then you find your wife or husband. They say, I like me too. And then the two, they around the breakfast table. I like me, yes I do, I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me. And talk real silly and do all sorts of silly stuff. I like me. And then each person around the table tries to be sillier than the other. But the thing is, it becomes common to say I like me. It becomes okay to say I like me. And there's nothing inside of you that says, but you're not a nice person. You haven't done your chores. You haven't put your clothes away. You haven't been a good husband or a good wife. You know, that stuff doesn't get into your consciousness. The stuff that gets into your consciousness is, I like me. Okay. So, you sing that. Or just say it to yourself or do whatever you want. But you are the most important link in this chain. So, it's nice to have the rest of the links all saying it too, but you say it. And then it passes down. It passes down. If not the verbal, I like me, the feeling of liking yourself. Okay. Now, it says here, men want to be a woman's first love. Well, all a man has to do is say, I am my wife's first love. And believe it. And see every marker in their relationship that says, you are her first love and the only love she has ever had and the only love she will ever have. Because you asked her to marry you to be part of your world on a very serious basis. And women want to be a man's last romance. I guess a little, little touchy there. Women want to be a man's most amazing romance, most amazing love. Not the last, because it's continually renewing. And it lasts oftentimes mean death, you know, until death do us part. And that's not the point. You don't want to be together till death do you part. You want to be together until the wonder of your life leads you into a new dimension, a new activity. It could be another marriage. It could be another experience, another country, another life. It could be another lifetime, you know. So we don't want to label these things where we have ideas in our mind of what they might mean. The last romance, you know. And then he died. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate that. But when a man and a woman and their children all become accustomed to listening to the divine within them, they could do this every day, every evening at the dinner table. This food is healthy for my body and filled with love. I listen to the divine within me every day and follow it to my highest joy. Something like that, you know. And you see, then it's not pointing to this or pointing to that, that this is missing and that's missing. When Ingeborg makes a cake, and when Ingeborg makes a cake and she's making this cake, and Ingeborg is such a klutzy cake maker, she's making this dough and she's checking the dough, she tastes it. And all of a sudden, Ingeborg says, "Aha, that's perfect." And then she takes this dough and puts it in the oven, makes the cake, and brings it out and presents it. And everyone says, "Oh, ah, one of Ingeborg's favorite," because she listened to the divine within her, telling her when that cake dough was just perfect. The perfect amount of, she put in the amount of salt, the amount of sugar, the amount of flour, the amount of things that the recipe called for. But what she didn't do was to put in what the recipe couldn't call for, that touch that Ingeborg gives the cake that makes it ooh la la. And you see, this is what each one of us do. We give to our life that touch that makes it just beautiful representation of us. And we cannot do that unless we become still, or at least have a very tight connection to the divine within us, and make sure that everything we do is harmonious with the divine within us. And part of the technique of being harmonious with the divine within is by saying, "I like me," by stopping before you act in any way and think, "How would I as God respond here? How would I, as the divine in me, respond? How would I, at my highest and best, respond?" Any one of those phrases, you know, be very good. Just imagine what would happen to your life, to your world, to your relationships. Just imagine what would happen to your husband, your wife, your children, your dog, your cat, your whatever your pets are, you know. Just imagine what would happen. You know, I was talking with Bill. And Bill is 87, 86, and he has a dog that he and his wife had had for 18 years. And his wife passed on some years ago. And so the dog is Bill's primary entertainment. And the little mutt is very possessive, obviously, because Bill is very possessive. And I sat talking with Bill for about 30 minutes the other day, yesterday in fact, and as I sat talking to him, he said in that 30 minutes, at least a dozen times, "This dog always gets his own way. This dog sits up and says he wants to go potty just because he wants to go outside and sniff around. Wants to take me for a walk. But I know. He can't fool me," and yet he does all the time. And he said, "This dog wants this. This dog wants to sit close to me. This dog wants to climb all over people. This dog wants to be in your face all the time." This and on with this dog. Now, to a degree, Bill likes it. But to a greater degree, Bill would like it if the dog would just lie quietly at his side, or you know, go do as a dog does, and not be so obnoxious to visitors and guests, you know, wanting to chase him out, get out of my house, you know. But Bill would like that. But Bill's not putting the cause in motion for that to happen. He's putting the cause in motion for it to continue being a little irritant by saying to me and to the dog and to his mind, his own heart, this dog does this, this dog does that. Now, how would Bill bring about a change? By just merely saying, this dog is a lover, loves to lie quietly at my side. This dog loves to lie quietly at my side. This dog loves to lie quietly at my side. Whenever you see the dog, say, hello, my wonderful little pup, you love to lie quietly at my side. Now, the dog doesn't understand English. He doesn't, but he understands what Bill's intention is. And he would follow Bill's intention explicitly. And it wouldn't happen the first time Bill said it, or maybe it would, but it would take a little while until it became Bill's habit with certain attitudes of Bill's mind and certain expectations of the dog and a little hand pushing now and then. The dog would get the message, and within a very short time, the dog who 18 years was doing it the wrong way would all of a sudden start doing it the right way. But he's an old dog. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. My goodness, you sure can. You sure can. But it's not teaching the dog new tricks. It's teaching you new tricks. You, a new way to approach living with your pet. And so when you start saying, my dog is a gentle, loving dog and loves everybody. Mm-hmm. My dog loves everything. My dog loves to follow my directions. I say sit, I say roll over, I say jump up here. The jump up here, he's got very, very well down. But the dog loves to do it. Now, what about your children? My children listen to the divine within. See, get your values right. My children listen to the divine within and follow it, and are the most wonderful children in the entire world. All the world loves to have my children around. All the world watches my children and says, oh, what mannerly children these are. Everyone watches my husband and says, what a gentle husband. At home with his wife, what a gentle, wonderful husband. You see, because the wife sees him as a gentle, wonderful husband. Not wish for or hope for, but that she really visualizes him that way. And the husband, he says, oh, when I come home from work at the end of the day, he says, and I walk in my house, I walk in paradise. And you know who's running my paradise? My sweetheart. My wife is the most beautiful angel on the face of the earth. She is the most charming person. When I'd like to work at home, because if I could be in her presence all the time, I would be really in paradise. I'd be in heaven. But I have to take it along in my heart when I'm at my work in the office. But you see, those type of thoughts, you say, oh, those are dreamer thoughts, Pollyanna thoughts. No, those are the thoughts that make our world go round. Now, you can have either the thought that it doesn't work, or the thought that that is what it is. Whatever you wish. Either thought. Now you make the decision. Wherein lay my values? There is my experience. Well, you have a lovely day doing great things, and know that our thought for today, wherein lay my values? Men want to be a woman's first love. Woman. Women want to be a man's last romance. And that all takes place when we in our heart first like ourselves and like our creation. Have a wonderful day. I love you. I love you. I love you.